We've heard a word this morning. I believe God's got a word for us tonight.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Before we go to there, this has been on my heart for this week. I've been praying about this each and every day as it unfolds. I've walked it. It's been a place in my heart. It's something that I've been thinking about. Off and on, what I say, what I do, where I go, what I listen to, what I see. These are things that you think about whenever you think about who does get the glory.
Right.
If you want to please stand, we're going to read the word, Romans 1, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 20 through 23. Just a moment. The word says, "For the visible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." 22 says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." 23, "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word of truth. I'm asking now, God, that you be with me to preach this word. Anoint me, God, as a vessel, Lord, at this very particular moment. God, that I am helpless without you, but God, with you, you can say something through me. God, I'm asking, Lord, you pierce each and every heart. God, that the truth will come forth, and Lord, that we will take this word, not only in this house, but take it out of this house. God, that we would continually walk in it. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want to preach to you the title I just mentioned, Who Gets the Glory? Romans shows us here in the scripture we have read that it is possible for man to take the glory that belongs to God and give that glory to someone else or something other than God. I'm going to quote Spurgeon. Spurgeon said this, "Will you kindly notice that according to the text, knowledge is of no use if it does not lead to holy practice. They knew God. It was no good to them to know God, for they glorified him not as God."
Right.
So my theological friend over there, who knows so much that he can split hairs over doctrines, it does not matter what you think or what you know unless it leads you to glorify God and be thankful. Strong statement, Spurgeon stated, but it's true. It does not truly matter what you know, but it does matter who you glorify. There is a truth in that. The very reason we were created is to glorify God. Throughout the entire Bible, you can see a clear picture of God's heart to show himself to the world. He's done it in many ways. He's done it through many people. He has revealed himself personally to people, and he has shown who he was in great power and public display. You can read it all through the Bible. Whatever method you see God using, one thing is clear to us. God deserves to be known by you.
Yes.
You were created for his glory.
Right.
Isaiah 43:7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." The scripture is talking about you and I.
Yes.
We were formed for that very purpose.
Yes.
So what gives glory to God? That's what our first point is. What actually gives glory to God? Psalms 19:1-3, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." We know on all the earth God has made this wonderful earth for us to enjoy. But what about it? Everything you see, God created it. As you see it is the way God created you to see it. Do you ever thought about that? When you think about a star, what you visualize in your very own mind is how God created it to be in your very own mind. Now, I'll wait for just a moment. Some of you will get that despair.
Yeah.
Now, think about that. Think about how wonderful and glorious God is, as how he's created each and everything about what it is and how it is. The definition that the dictionary gives us, the word glory, it says praise, honor, distinction, great beauty, and splendor, worship and exalted. The biblical definition is a heaviness or a weight. This and all of those things talks about the glory of God. Now, thinking about what this is, God doesn't ask the sun to rise or set. It just does what God said.
Yeah.
The bird doesn't have to be told by God to chirp and make beautiful music. It does what God said. The sea stops where God says it's going to stop. The firmament and the sky where it is stated and where the clouds are and where the sun set is exactly where God put it. Those glorify God in itself because that's the way God created it. Now you can follow.
Yes, sir.
Hang on a minute. We'll get there. I know what you're thinking. I've heard these things before. Well, there's a point to it.
Yes, sir.
What I'm trying to say is that so giving glory to God is a choice.
Yes.
Amen. Right.
Everything else that is created to do. Only God's highest creation has a choice.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Now think about the weight in that very point. Everything else that God created glorifies in him because it does exactly what it's supposed to do. But God's highest creation, which is you and I, have a choice to do.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Let that just weigh on just a moment. Thinking about the fact that I have a choice to glorify God or not, you think, well, that's so simple. Everything else that we see, everything you see each and every day when you walk out the door, glorifies God in his creation because he created it. It does exactly what God says it's going to do.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what man says. It's going to do what God says it's going to do.
Right. That's right. Yes, sir.
Every beast is going to create after its own self, its own kind. God created to do so. Man's been trying for a long time to create something else, but God said, no.
Yeah.
This is the way I made it. This is the way it's going to be.
Right. Yes, sir.
Man continues to try to gain this by the point of Satan trying to gain glory that is actually turned for God. Man has a tendency to worship what is created more than the Creator. But the Bible tells us that God is actually jealous over his glory. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. How we live our lives is what gives the most glory to God. Hello? You may think when you come here to worship and pray, that brings the most glory to God. But you don't spend all day long worshiping and praying, do you? You spend all day long living in a world that God created for a purpose. And you were created for a purpose as well. So you in doing what God's created you to do is what brings glory to him. So thinking about that very purpose itself and all the creation of God bringing all this glory to him. But we as man have a choice.
Yes, we do.
Think about this. I don't feel well. But the fact is, God's still the healer.
Yes.
Now, I'm not sick. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of times, we go by what we feel instead of fact,
right,
who God is.
Yes.
God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't he, folks?
Right.
He's still going to be on the throne tomorrow. It doesn't matter what they say on Fox News or CNN News or anybody else's news. It does not matter what's going on in the world. God is still going to be on the throne, and he's still going to be sovereign, and he's still going to redeem his church. Amen?
Amen.
There's no question about that. What Jesus did here on earth was to show us how to live a victorious life. If you think about what Jesus has done during the time he walked the earth, it was to show us the purpose. He labored for the kingdom. He prayed for the sick. He preached the gospel. He walked in faith and operated in the Spirit. He is the ultimate teacher that sent the Holy Spirit to us to teach us all truth, to point to himself, to anoint us to speak boldly of his truth, to boldly come to his throne room of grace, praying for the sick to recover and to believe.
Yeah.
To pray warfare prayers against our enemy, that he will not take our loved ones or infiltrate our minds with lies. Now here's a point right here. Because when lies are sown, eventually the harvest lies will choke out the truth. Now think about that for just a moment. Whatever you allow in your mind, if it's lies of the enemy, lies or whatever it may be, once it is in your mind, you have an opportunity to allow that to take root.
Amen.
Yes.
Come on. Amen. You have something in your mind at this very particular moment of what the enemy is trying to take you, and the Holy Ghost is putting his finger on it. Are you going to believe this, or are you going to believe me? Because there's only really one truth. So whenever you allow these lies to be sown in your life, eventually these lies beget lies.
Yeah.
And more lies that are targeted against your mind. These are fiery darts. And as the word says, when they land, they explode. It's fusion. It explodes in the Greek. When it lands onto your mind, it explodes. It's not just one little spot. It explodes into more. So we have an opportunity to allow that or not to. So what am I saying? I'm saying that if we want to continue to understand that the lies are truly lies, then we can defeat our enemy by the truth.
Right.
But if we want to take the lie, then who am we glorifying?
Uh-huh. Right.
Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. The enemy tried to sow the lie that Jesus was not the Son of God. But John 1:14 tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What? The Word. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In life, we are confronted with what is truth or not, whether it is preached from the pulpit or advice given to you in life. The way to test the truth is go to the Word of God. Everything that's preached in this pulpit should be studied out in this book.
Yeah.
If you have a question of what the truth is, then look it up. I ask you to do that. Anything I preach, you feel free to look it up. Because if I have not actually discerned the word and heard from God, then I want to know. But I promise you, the time, everyone that spends time in this pulpit, spend time with God, and they will find the truth. But it's up to us. You alone and I alone will stand before God and answer for what we have done and what we're doing.
Amen.
So, in life, we're confronted with, what are we going to trust? What are we going to trust? We think about this. Even Jesus, who was the image of the glory of God, used the word of God when the enemy came to him. The purpose of this was for you and I to see how we're to defeat the enemy. The word of God is always to give glory to God in every situation. When we use the word, which is the all-powerful word of God, when we use that against our enemy, he gets the glory. He gets the glory. The word of God. The two things that we have the most difficult with is reading the word and prayer. Why do you think that is? Young people? How easy is it to pray and read the word of God? Come on. Let's speak truth. This is the truth. Why do you think the enemy wants to keep you from the truth?
Yeah.
Why do you think the God of all heaven and earth gave us the whole rule book and everything that we need to know right here? And it's so easy not to open it up.
Yeah.
It's so easy to click on something else.
Right.
It's so easy to look on some kind of social media. It's so easy to click on the TV. It's so easy to go out and write. It's so easy to do something else. Why is it so easy whenever I open the book and I start to read, I get sleepy?
Yeah.
Huh? How easy is it for me to go pray and I get sleepy? But you know what? I can get on whatever social media and spend hours on that.
Yeah.
I can watch TV all day long and stay wide awake. Why do you think that is? Shall we see what the enemy is trying to show us? He doesn't have a new bag of tricks. He's still firing the same darts. The ones that land are the lies. And if we believe and take upon that lie and not push it out and go forth and make the effort, you know what God said? I'm more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
Is that a truth?
Yes.
Is it a truth in you?
Yes.
So if it's a truth in you and me, then I must live the word of God so that it actually will be a truth in me. So how do I glorify God? John 17 and 4 says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Works will never not get you to heaven. It reveals heaven in you by doing good works for God's glory.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Works won't get you to heaven. We know this. But if heaven's in you, you will work for the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
It's the purpose of Him.
Amen.
We bring glory to God by our obedience. He will get praise and adoration and be exalted when we obey what He asked us to do. Jesus was obedient all the way to the cross. He prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. Not an act of obedience. No act of obedience could bring about more glory than the obedience of Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
There are examples all through the Word of God that show us obedience. Moses stretched out his hands with his staff to the Red Sea and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But if it had been you or me, it might have sounded more like this. It is what it is. The enemy's behind us and the sea is in front of us. I must not have heard from God. I must have done something wrong. It must have been me.
Come on.
You may find yourself faced with the Red Sea in your life. You can choose the truth or the lie. The truth will say, I will make a way for you. The lie says, I heard wrong and messed up.
Yeah.
Has the enemy ever told you that? But you heard God say this. But do not question the fact that you will get challenged on the word that is given to you.
Yeah.
Is it not true?
Yeah.
Is a test not becoming a testimony or just a test? Pastor Phelan? So in the fact is, if you have this opportunity coming to you and it will be challenged, if it's the word of God, you can guarantee you it's going to be challenged by the enemy. Why? Because if he can take that and make you believe it's way too hard to do this. It can't be God. I thought I heard God, but no, it can't be this hard. Adversity came to each and every person in the Bible. If you think back, each and every one of them were brought to a place. Were they not? If you were standing in front of the Red Sea and the army of Egypt was behind you, what would you do? Think about that for a moment. Think about, these were real people. This is not just characters. This is not your cartoon Bible here. This is the truth of real people. When we walk through the place, even the valley of death, it's the same today that it was yesterday. We are still fighting the same devil they did. So we will have to be tested. We will actually still have the word of truth after the test.
Yeah. Or not.
There was a young lady that many times came to Melissa's revivals years ago. And she was told that she was supposed to go to Africa to be a missionary. For, I believe it was a year or two, she had posters and things like that, if I remember correctly, on her walls before she graduated school of Africa. And even knew exactly where she was supposed to go. She knew what God's plan was for her life. She knew it, she knew it, she knew it. She had this, for over a year's time, she kept this in her mind. She kept going for it, she kept praying for it, getting excited about it. You know how you get excited about something that you have planned for a long period of time?
Yeah.
Then she graduated. Something happened. Sometimes people just say it's life. That is not the true statement. It's not just life. Satan fired a dart, and that young lady still didn't make it to Africa, and that's been many years ago. Because the fool of the enemy, she decided to go another route and did not follow what God, and as far as I know, she's fallen out with God and no longer serves Him. May God help us in this time. We can't say it's just life, because there is an enemy that's out there to destroy lives each and every day. This young lady that was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at one time was hungry, would drive for miles to come to revival to hear words of life, hope, desire, be around other missionaries. But yet, as some would say, life, it wasn't life. His enemy firing these darts and say, you know what? Maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I just didn't hear God. This past whole year, the posters on your wall, the prayer time, the Holy Ghost moving, the confirming words from those around you. Do we believe the lie? Who do we believe? Remember when the prophet Samuel spoke to King Saul about obedience. 1 Samuel 15 and 22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Disobedience is misplaced praise. But God delights in obedience. In our obedience, we bring glory to God. The obedience that God loves is the obedience of faith. Obedience to God proves our love for Him. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Abraham was obedient in sacrificing as he was going to. Noah was obedient in building the ark. Paul was obedient to the heavenly vision. Daniel was obedient in the refusal of the contaminated food that he was supposed to take up that was sacrificed to idols. Moses took off his shoes at the burning bush. Every single one of these examples required these men to make choices, and most of those choices were uncomfortable. But every one of their examples brings glory to God. You ever thought what would happen if none of these would have made that choice? What if Moses wouldn't have took his shoes off? Hello? What if? But we don't read about those, because those are not in the Bible. They're not what ifs. Paul wrote in Galatians 2 and 20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." This is how you give glory to God. Christ lives, that means my will is forfeited for His glory. My life is forfeited for His glory. Amen. Both. So who gets the glory in your life? 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In everyday life, we may not think who gives the glory out of it. I'll admit, when this came to me, it wasn't a thought of me when I woke up that morning, who's getting the glory for what I'm doing today. When we open our mouth, we do what we do, go where we go, watch what we watch, listen to what we listen to. Who gets the glory out of that? And here where I'm going with this, each and every one, I want your attention, because this is important, because God said it was important. Because His glory is not given to anyone else. Not a cell phone, not a YouTube, not a Facebook, not anything else but to Him. There is authority in giving God the glory. There is not in the world. There is no authority in the world, because this is a fallen, sinful place. Jesus told us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, which begs the question, what is in your heart? What is it in our heart? Whenever we are bound up with the world and we feel tied down, when we feel this, the abundance of our heart will speak. When we're having the most difficult day of our lives, we wonder whatever's going to come out of our mouth. When we feel like we're pressed against the wall, when we're trying to fight our way through each and every day, out of the abundance of the heart, it will speak out of your mouth.
Yes,
what are you speaking? Are you speaking the truth or are you speaking the lie? Because the enemy's going to say, you're not going to make it through this. You're going to get sick and you're going to die. The enemy's going to say, you're not going to pass this test. The enemy's going to say, it's not going to work out for you. This is not for you. This relationship is not for you. This is not. But what does God say?
Yeah.
The biggest problem we have as with Christians is that we tend to give up before we get the answer. Oh, I know, stepping on our toes. Step on my toes. Because I have to live just like you do. So I'm preaching to me just like I'm preaching to you. There's no question that we all walk in the same world.
Amen.
Who gets the glory for my life?
Yeah.
Do I make it 100%? Absolutely not. Am I battling you? Absolutely not. Because I'm having to live it too.
Yeah.
And you're going to keep loving me anyway. So, Matthew 12, 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account of it in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The scales need to fall from our eyes, folks. We need to be able to see that when we do not speak the truth, we're accepting every fiery dart the enemy is shooting at us. We are glorifying the wrong one. Do you ever thought about that? Because that came to realization to me, a revelation. Whenever I want to speak out of things going against me in my life, it is a lie. And if I'm glorifying the lie, I'm glorifying who? Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about when you have all these problems in your life, that when you continue to speak those out, you're speaking those over your life over and over and over again. Who do you bring glory to? If you're going to talk about all the things that the sinful world is talking about, we're going to talk about our presidency, we're going to talk about our Congress, we're going to talk about all these things that is full of sin and things that are not truth. But if that's all we speak from our mouth, all we're doing is glorifying whom?
Yeah.
Hello? I'm going to step on a lot more toes because the truth needs to be heard from the pulpit. That we need to know we speak of God. We don't need to worry about the world because this is only a vapor of time. And when we pass on for glory, we've got a place that we're here forever and ever and ever.
Yes.
We're not to live here. We're not from here.
Right.
We're a new creature in Christ. But too many times we get wrapped up in the world. Because why do we get wrapped in the world? Because the enemy wants you entangled. And entangled by these, he'll bring those thoughts. And you know what? Whenever you watch the news and you can watch 16 hours of it. Well, and you know what? They said it all a different way. It's just a different person speaking.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what? Tomorrow, they're going to say the same thing again.
Yeah.
And you know what? The next time, they're going to say it again. You know what so-and-so did? You know they're going to die. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. You know what? It wears me out.
Yes.
I don't make time for it. I'm sorry.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I know things need to be important to us, and we need to know what's going on in the world.
Yes.
But too many times, we know more what's going on in the world than we know
yes.
what's going on in this world.
Right. Amen. Yes.
Many people can quote mm-hmm. President Trump or Biden, but they can't quote anything out of this word.
That's right.
You may preach that for a little while? Because
yes.
I want to. Because I'm angry. At the devil, because of the lie he keeps throwing at the people of God. Every time we sit there and spew this garbage out of our mouth that he has put out, he is being glorified, not the King of Kings that answers the prayers of the saints. Every time we say, oh, my poor, pitiful life, this, that, and the other, who do we glorify? Or do we speak the truth of what the word says? I am healed because he said that I am. At every stripe, we are healed. Is he or not? Now, I'm not belittling people's sickness. I'm not telling people not to go to the doctor. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, what are we speaking?
Yes.
Do we speak the truth? Or do we speak what we've been told? Why did I tell you to challenge you to say everything that's preached? Read it.
Yes.
I won't tell you I told you so. Here, we must know and take the truth. The word says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. What does that mean? There's only one truth, people. It's not anything in the world that's going to tell you the truth. This is the truth. Everything that you need to know is going to be in this book. If you don't know the book, then you don't know the truth. You'll take any lie and you'll swallow it and say, hey, that must be the truth. But I tell you what, anything that's come and brought to you, you must test it by that, because that's what we're going to be judged by. It's not going to be about what my opinion is. It's going to be what the truth is. Why do you think the truth is the loin belt of truth? The truth is supplies. Every part of the armor connects to it. The word, the spirit of the Lord is the rhema word. That's what you need to take. When you're attacking an offense, it's going to be the word right now.
Amen.
You want to learn more about that? It's in my class. So, as we go forward, who gets the glory out of your life? Do we glorify the problem or the God of the answer? Does God get any glory out of you just showing up to church and not interacting? Hello?
Come on.
It's crickets in here, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I come here and warm a pew, does God get glory for me showing up? I know it's hard, people. I know. I love you. You don't have to question that because I pray for you every single day. I get up early in the morning, I pray for you. I go to bed at night, I'm praying for you. Because why? You're my family. Don't question that I love you. But I am going to bring you the truth no matter how much it hurts me to say it. Because there is only one way to heaven, and it's narrow gate. We must know what our enemy is plotting in our lives. We don't need to be worried about what's going on down the street. You don't need to be worried about what's preached down the street. Because this is your church, and these are your pastors, and they're the ones speaking the truth to you. So if you're sitting there watching somebody on TV, thinking that they're going to preach something, it may be great words, but a lot of times we like to build up those around us with itchy ears because we want to hear what makes us feel good. But I'm going to tell you, it may not always feel good, but medicine never does. Amen? But it will make you better. It will make you stand on the rock. It will take you to the place you need to be. My goal is this. As I pray, I don't want one to miss the rapture of Jesus Christ. And I want everyone in this house and those, your families, even not here, I want to see them. So I pray for them even if I don't know them. But I want to see the truth.
Yes.
Only us.
Amen. Amen.
It's not always easy. I'm going to tell you one of the things. This happened a few years ago at a camp meeting. This is the first time that I saw this actually happen. And I was praying at a camp meeting. The Spirit of God was moving in an amazing way. Big, huge church, people everywhere. People, prayer groups everywhere, across the front, around, in the middle, up and down the aisles, people. And I'm sitting here praying for people. And all of a sudden, I reach this young man full of the devil. And I'm sitting here and I'm praying for him. And all of a sudden it manifests itself because the Holy Spirit is moving everywhere. So when I lay hands on him, he starts jerking and hurting and everything else. And all these looks on his face. And this thing speaks. And I say, out. This is not about me. Okay? Let's pass this up. So if you think I'm going by me, it's God that did it. So let's move on. So the next thing is that after he hit the floor, I pick it back up. We're not done yet. So I pray again. He hits the floor. Next thing I know, boom, he hits the floor. We go down. By the time, the sixth or seventh time, I'm getting trying to pick him up. He's about 200 pounds. So whenever we're at the time, we're at the back of the church. I'm sweating one side and the other. And I'm by myself praying for this guy. And one after another, they were cast out. So I'm tired. So I pick him up one last time and I pull him over to the front. I need some help. I need some other people. Because at this time there's about seven manifested through them. They're all manifested different.
Yeah. Come on.
So I take him up and I get my friends, other believers, fill the Holy Ghost. We all start praying for him. I kind of step back, let them pray for him, and things start to happen. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost said, look. And my heart failed. I looked across the congregation. Every eye was on him. Now hear me, church. Satan wants the glory no matter how he can get it. So that thing manifested itself in front of that church, in front of all those people. I just drug him up to the front, and my heart failed because it was manifested itself. Everybody in the church was paying attention to him. So the devil was bringing glory out of what was going on.
Yes, sir.
Because everybody's attention was on what was going on with him instead of what God was doing. Now hear me. When you talk about what you're doing in Jesus' everyday life, what are we bringing glory to? What do you bring glory to when you sit there on TikTok for 16 hours a day? When you think about what you listen to in your vehicle, you think nobody hears it. If you think about what you watch on YouTube, if you think about what you watch, as Melissa talked about zombies, who are you glorifying? Am I angry? I'm angry that the church is being lied to by the enemy, because there's time to press back. And we take authority over this, because there's no place in this house. The devil does not get glorified.
Amen. Good preaching.
By us.
Yes, sir.
So we must understand what happens. That was the first time that I realized that this was getting the glory that should have been getting glory by God. By those people over there getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Those people over there getting prayed for and getting healed. But no, everybody wanted to see this manifestation. It's just the devil.
Yeah.
Why do you want to glorify him? Everybody wants to talk about spiritual warfare. I need to know how to do this. I'll tell you what, read your word. If you want to speak the word of truth, it will tell you and make you delivered. If you think there's a problem with the devil, it will deliver you and deliver them. But I'm telling you, you allow that to be glorified, you're bringing glory to the wrong one. If your life is going a different direction, you're bringing glory to the wrong one. Am I angry? Yes, I'm angry at the devil.
Yes.
I don't want us to be lied to by the enemy anymore. Because everything that we do will bring glory to someone. Like I said just a moment ago, it's not just your praise. It's not just your worship. It's not just your time of prayer, because that's only a matter of time per day. But you live in a world that you see other people. How do you interact with those people each and every day? Do you love them as Christ loved them? Do you talk to them as Christ talked to them? Do you speak truth into them as Christ would speak truth to them? Do you move in the spirit? Or do we just move in the flesh and say, you know what? It's not today. I'm in a hurry.
Come on.
I'm not beating you up any more than I'm beating you up. Oh, I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
The days are drawing nigh.
Yes, they are.
The enemy is fighting each and everything. As I spoke to this morning, there's tormenting spirits everywhere. They're going to torment your mind. The purpose is to bring torment over and over and over and over and over again. And tell you, one of those make you stumble. Huh? Which one? Do we speak the word of truth? Here's the biggest problem. Whenever we have the enemy come here displaying himself, because he's going to be full of lies, he's displaying, he's saying it right out loud. But until we pick up the truth and fight him, as Jesus showed us how to fight him, we will not defeat him. Every fiery dart when he lands explodes. And every single one of them are against your salvation. Why do you think it's the helmet of salvation? And why do you think it's the battlefield of the mind? What you allow to stay. Let me just say this, Spirit tells me. I've had to walk with this because my mind, I'm a thinker. I'm a planner. Anybody that's worked with people for many years and been over people for many years, you're a thinker and a planner. You're a dealer. You're trying to make things work. You're already dealt with things in your mind. But if you stay in your mind, that's the enemy's playground.
Yes, it is.
This is what God comes after.
Yeah.
The heart.
Yes.
Out of the abundance of the heart. Not the mind. He's not here to save your mind. It can save it. That's what's in the heart. So if you sit there and you have to deal with being overthought and dealt with and things that you battlefield in your mind each and every day, and you have these conversations planned out in your days over and over and over, and you allow those to torment you, that's a tormenting spirit, that's a liar, and tell it where it needs to go. Authority over it. You don't have to sit here and stumble and fumble around and wander. There's people in this room right now speaking to you by the Holy Ghost is telling you that's a lie from the enemy. It does. These people do love you. There are those ones around there that surround you and be with you. Those are the ones. These right here. I call you family. Whether you love me or not, I love you too. Don't matter. Don't matter. Jesus loved you so much. It doesn't matter. To glorify God in everything, we must exercise faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What do you think that reward means? It doesn't mean a bag of money. It means a rewarder that you accept that you now you have the answer that you were seeking. That means he rewarded you with what you were seeking after. That means you have to actually go after and seek it. Faith. Love without hypocrisy. Romans 12:9 says, "Love, let love be without hypocrisy. Hate that which is evil. Cleave that which is good."
Yes. Yes, sir.
No, I won't do it. Deny ourselves, Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Be filled with the Spirit," Ephesians 5:18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That is absolutely important these times. Discernment is by the gifts of the Spirit. Power is by the gifts of the Spirit. By moving in the Holy Ghost, there's so many times the Holy Ghost has saved me in that attack. By the warning. By the warning. "And offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God." Romans 12:1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God."
Yes.
"Which is your reasonable service." Well, holy. Mm-hmm. He said, be holy as I'm holy.
Right.
I'm not talking about what you're wearing. God's not looking at your clothes. Modesty's just given. It's a matter of the heart.
Yes, it is.
He knows what's holy.
It's a heart condition. Yes, sir.
Every area of our life is important to evaluate and live to its fullest for the glory and honor of God.
Amen.
We should strive for every thought and deed to bring joy to our Father in heaven.
Amen.
And in closing, if you please stand for just a moment. I know this is harsh and hard, but it's true. In these days and these battles, may you bring freedom from this battle by knowing the truth. Find the truth in someone. This truth. Find the truth in someone. Because there really truly is only one truth. If we were to think about eternity and lived as eternity, you know, I think there was a song sometimes that living like we're dying, something like that. That gives you a different perspective of what you do tomorrow and what you do today. You live life to the fullest. I'm sure this guy did. I think it's a country song or something. But we as believers in Christ, knowing that we have eternity to gain.
Yes, sir.
And I was praying this afternoon,
precious Jesus,
thinking about this message, thinking about hell, So many times we think hell. There's been songs about it over and over and over about how glorious it will be to party in hell. I'm going to tell you this. Hell which be cast in the lake of fire, but hell is much worse than the torment of just darkness that you can taste and feel. Hell is much worse than the pain and the agony. Hell is much worse than the burning flesh and the brimstone. Hell is much worse because it's absence of God.
Yes.
So the absence of God brings forth complete disarray.
Yeah.
Chaos that we cannot understand. Things that we would never understand. But all the pains, each and every time, the tormenting thoughts of every time the word was presented to you and you did not take it. Every time it be brought to remembrance in a darkness that is so dark you've never known. And knowing that tomorrow it's going to be the same. For all eternity, it's far worse than the burn. It's far worse than the smell. It's being absent of God.
Yes, sir.
And His goodness.
Yes.
We take that for granted each and every day. The goodness of God. The absence of God taking Him out brings complete despair. If we can ever understand the completeness of the despair of a place without God, would we ever wonder every day that I want to bring God glory, not the devil? My heart ached knowing that you and I know people that are doomed for that if we don't intercede. Don't wait a moment. If there's anybody lost in this house tonight, I wouldn't leave here. Question it. My salvation. God didn't bring that to my mind this afternoon because everybody was saved in this house. No. I had no intention of saying anything about it. But without God,
Lord, we love you, Jesus.
Psalms 1, verse 1 through 6 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But delight in the law of the Lord, and in His law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish."
His word.
With every eye closed and every head bowed.